Hi, this is Lillian, B, Aileen, and Nikki, and we will be talking about Escape from Aleppo.
So, the first question is, what effect can being a refugee have on a person's life and well-being?
I think that being a refugee has a large effect on a person or refugee's mental health. I think that's because they're not going to be used to a world in which there isn't war and there isn't violence, and they're always used to being on edge and looking for what's coming next. And I think that that's really going to take a toll on someone's mental health and their mental state when, like, for the rest of their life, not only if they're still in those dangerous situations, but also outside of those situations.
And then I think that it's also going to have a large effect on, like, their social life and their comfortableness, like, to being themselves, because they're not going to be able to have a lot of social interactions with people who are outside of their family or even with their family if they get split up. And I think that that is going to make it harder for them to, like, reintegrate into society if they do find a safe place, and I think it's just going to make the transition more difficult for them.
Yeah, especially with, like, the children, and how in the documentary we watched, it showed the drawings that they did where it was just a lot of violence and war and such, and especially with, I don't know how to pronounce his name, like, Basil or Basil or something like that. In the book, he was drawing, like, what happened to his grandparents and such like that. Like, the children, that's all they've known as they've grown up, so.
And then another thing that happened in the book, Nadia had to talk about, like, how she had to stop singing lessons, and that was, like, the thing that brought her happiness, and I think that that being taken away from her took, like, the last part that, like, made her herself, and she just, like, became the person who needed to survive.
So, and something that I have to add on to that, Nikki, I'm so gonna let you go after this, is that eventually, remember how Nadia was so obsessed with her nail polish, and she was so obsessed with it, and she always had to fix it, but then eventually she had just given up on it. She took off her mittens, or she had lost them, and they were completely chipped, and she just didn't even care anymore. And I feel like that was a really sentimental and really big moment for them, for Nadia, because it was just showing, like, that was one of the last things that she left behind of her old self. And now you can go.
Yeah, and so it also has an effect on their, like, education, like what B was saying about how when they go integrating back into society, like, those kids in those camps, they were, like, they had those traumas of not being, wanting to go back to school, because that one kid, like, Basil or whatever, he didn't want to go back to school because his school was bombed, and so he was, like, he was supposed to be in, like, fifth grade, but he was going to, like, a third grade classroom, and so it's harder for them to integrate back into society because they're not, their social skills and their education has been affected, and they might not be able to get jobs.
Yeah, and especially because Nadia's school got shut down, didn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, with the singing lessons, what you were talking about, she also said that it was a distraction for her, mm-hmm. for when all the stuff was happening outside, and when they left, that was, like, her last distraction from what was happening.
It was, like, her escape.
Yeah.
And then the next question is, how has the international community affected the state of Syria in the past, and how has it affected the current situation?
It's mostly, like, the Arab Spring thing, where the other countries, because they were also sort of upset with their country's corrupt governments, and so they wanted to, uprise and have protests, and so that, because of them, their success, Syria wanted to follow, but it didn't really have the intended effect.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. I mean, every person that's ruling over a country or a city or a town, they have different, like, regimes, and they have different rules and such, so everyone's going to react differently to an uprising. And I think the Arab Spring really, like, was kind of unrealistic, in my opinion, because they all were able to peacefully protest the person out of their job, but, like, that's not going to work everywhere.
Okay, and then another thing that Nadia talked a lot about was, like, people who came from other countries and became rebel groups, and they did it in the name of religion. And she talked a lot about the fear they inspired and, like, that they were radicalists. And a specific example is the people from ISIS. A lot of the people came from Iraq, and they came into her country, and she said that they always had the black flag. And she said that, like, whenever she saw that, she knew that, like, she had to get away. And, like, she always talked about the brutality and fear that they inspired in everybody. So
So in regards to international involvement, I feel like in all of the other countries that had uprisings, their leaders they were already in trouble and the countries were already upset with them, and then there was an uprising. But in Syria, they talked a lot about in the book how there was an issue, and they talked about how, what was the government called that she saw on the news? And
it was like a radicalistic, like, monarchy or something.
It was like they try to take complete control, and they want to hold on to that control no matter what the cost. And I feel like due to that type of government being in Syria, I think that's what made it so difficult for the uprising to be successful.
I agree. And I think that it was also that, like, he did have a great military, and I think he just was going to do whatever he could. Mm-hmm. And she talked about how, like, there was a small protest and they fired into the crowd. And I just think that he is just going to do whatever he can. Like, he doesn't even care about the well-being of the citizens that he's supposed to be protecting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some people go to extreme lengths just to keep power. And didn't it say at one point he was, like, turning groups against each other and against, like, the government?
Yes.
By, like, graffiti and such? He wanted to start something. It wasn't just that he was, like, protecting his spot. He was going, like, beyond that. He was just starting, like, a war, to say it. And, I mean, I think that shows the type of person that can get into the...
Yeah, and he was, like, doing it through brutality, but, like, he wasn't supposed to be the intended leader, right? Because his older brother died, remember? And
yeah.
So it's also, like, influenced by, like, what he lives up. And so, also, the next question. So what are some important facts about the Syrian civil war, like?
Okay, so one of the biggest things that I noticed is that most of those who are refugees and are traveling are women and children. And I think that's one of the saddest things to see, because you see them struggling and you know that not all of them are going to be able to make it into that place that they want to get into. And it just kind of saddens me, because I know, as from my point of view, that not everyone's going to be able to escape that bad situation. And then another thing being that even though that is sad, it's really difficult for the economies and all the other things in the other countries surrounding Syria with all of the refugees that are coming in, and it's really hard on the countries in general.
And then I thought that it was important to know that, like, the people there, they are trying to survive, like, they're trying to move on. And I think that there was an instance that Nadia talked about where she went to a bakery because she heard that they had flour, but then the government bombed the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that just shows that the government, they aren't even trying to help their citizens. They're trying to, like, shut them down as fast as they can and try to regain the iron grip that they had on society.
Yeah, they're not even targeting, like, rebel groups anymore. They're just targeting civilians. And, I mean, back on the topic of facts, in certain places in Europe, people are trying to vote out letting refugees in, because the amount of refugees coming into their country is ruining their economy. And some people don't want to do it because they hate the people. It's just because they're losing their jobs and their livelihoods. So I don't really know if it's better to have a good economy or to let the refugees in, because either way, people are going to be suffering.
I mean, like, in Jordan, like, because there's so many refugees, because it's, like the country right next to Syria, like, 10% of their population is just Syrian refugees, and the disturbing part is half of those are just children, because there's so many children who have been orphaned from war. Also, like, they've been saying, like, the children are the ones who are going to try to seek asylum, and then it's, like, the mental stress of, like, having to them being the dependent of their families, like, to get asylum for the family, that just seems a bit much.
Yeah. And that's also shown in Tarek, I think that's how you say his name. It's like he was abandoned and he waited for his mom.
For 9 years.
Yeah, even though, like, it was a trying time and he knew that, like, she never came for him. Mm-hmm. And then another few facts that I found is that, like, every hour, I found this on another website where we were researching, it was 50 families are displaced every hour. And I think that that just shows the destruction that this war has had. And then the next question is, think about one specific action the main character took. Explain what he or she did and what they aimed to accomplish. What happened to him or her based on the action?
I think that the action where Nadia leapt into the river when they were escaping from the tower where ISIS was put to save Bessel, I'm going to say his name like that, and seeing the dead person in the river and still going in just to save themselves really shows that people are having to go to extreme lengths just to be safe, something you shouldn't have to go through just so you survive.
So I wanted to talk about when the rebel group or the teenagers took the donkey away from the kids.
That made me mad. I wanted to punch
that them. Made me really mad. Because so that was a really big issue for them, because how were they going to get somewhere with the Amo? What is his name?
Amo Mazen?
I don't know. I'm just going to say Amo.
Amo Mazen, yeah.
So how were they going to transport him? How was that going to work? It just wasn't going to work. And Jamila was such a big part of his life, and you could tell that there was a really big connection there. And I think that the action of her stepping in to say, we need to get Jamila back, we can't do anything without her, that was a really big kind of leap forward for her character, because before that she was thinking like, oh, the donkey, it doesn't even mean anything, we need to leave it behind, it's slowing us down. But she knew that it was important to Amo and it was important to their journey, and I think it really showed some great character development.
And then going off a few things is that, like, I think that it was important that, like, her family, they, like, left her, but she still decided to continue to find them. And I think that's, like, one of the most important things she did, because she could have just given up, but I think that she realized that, like, they're all she has left, and I think mm-hmm. that in this time she needs somebody to be with her.
And I feel like after, like, experiencing all the events, she's, like, has stronger belief in her, like, religion. Like, the kid who's, like, stayed behind for his mother, and, like, that donkey that she, because, like, it was, like, they were threatening to, like, eat the donkey, and, like, that's not good. You're not supposed to do that, because that's, it's a sacred animal. And, like, through these, like, looking through these events, like, what they're willing to fight for their religion, yeah. I feel like she's, like, greater influenced by her religion and takes more stock in that, instead of just, like, trivial things like the nail polish.
Yeah, and multiple times she questioned her God, and because why would they do this to us if they loved us and such. And I think that showed the trial that people have to go through with, like, certain religions in their life. When they go through a hardship, they wonder why would they do this to us. But it took her time to realize that everything happens for a reason, and you just have to work through it.
And then another question is, identify one of the main character's secrets that was revealed in the novel. How does knowing this information change the story?
Okay, so I want to talk about the older kid's name.
Tarek.
Okay, I don't want to say it wrong. So Tarek, obviously, I don't know if it was really a secret, but it was more of his past that was revealed. Yeah. It was that his mother left him, and he really didn't want to give up hope that she was going to come back and she was going to save him. And I think that was a really important thing, because it kind of showed another point of view of how children can be affected in the situation, and it was important to the novel because it was yet another picture of a person's struggles rather than just getting those two kids' point of views. So yeah.
And then I think another like really big secret was Amo Mazen, and it was that he used to be part of the Makabara. I don't know how to say that, but it's just like he used to be part of this like elite Syrian police force, and they were like the most feared. Mm-hmm. But then I think it revealed that like he changed and
after he realized they were doing bad stuff, not for the country anymore.
Yes.
And left.
And he, like, became, like, one of these, like, activists. Like, he was working to preserve the history of Syria. And I think that that changed the story, because it shows that, like, some of the people, like, everybody thinks of the Syrian army and, like, the Syrian police forces as bad people. But it was shown that, like, they can change. And I think that revealed another layer of the Syrian war, of, like, people realizing that what they were doing wasn't right.
Yeah.
And that's just another one of those lessons that we've learned through reading this book. Like, people can change. It's just not something that they always have one belief, and it's like he didn't know that they were doing these bad things. Like, they're not always black and white, bad or good. Like, he didn't know, but then he changed because he knew they were
so
bad.
Adding on to that change, we also learned kind of in the middle of the novel that it was all of the secret missions that Amo Mazen had been going on were actually to preserve the history of Syria, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Sorry for the interruption. What we were talking about was the secret that was revealed, how the artifacts were actually being preserved on the secret missions that Amo Mazen was going on. I think that was a really important plot point and secret that was revealed, because it showed that all of the things that were kind of taken away from Nadia's journey were actually important things to Amo Mazen, and he was helping preserve the past, and they were worthwhile rather than just being stupid little things that they're doing that are wasting her time when she could be getting to her family.
And I think that they're not only important to Alma Mazen, I think they're important to, like, this whole group of people, and it's important to Syria, too, because they're the things that, like, Syria's history was created from. And so then our next question is, the author utilizes flashbacks throughout the novel. Think about some of these instances and explain why they may be used to enhance the story.
I think with Nadia, when she has the multiple flashbacks and they're triggered by objects or places, I think that shows, it shows her backstory for one, and it shows what her life used to be so you can compare it to what it is now. Because of, like, on the boulevard or whatever, when her father took her and they had, like, the ice cream, it was just all ruined. And I think that really shows that her home and her life had been changed entirely, and it affected her in a huge way.
And also, like, it shows, like, the trivial, like, how she as a child had to mature, like, before she could worry about, like, little things like nail polish or her birthday party. But, like, you see, like, on the TV, they've been, like, listening to the news, and she's been worried by this, and, like, how it affects her life, and then how it, like, triggers her now.
And then I think that it was also, like, reflected in, like, how she used to say that she looked like a supermodel, or, like, that she was in a TV commercial, and I think that's all she viewed herself as, like, this person who was, like, beautiful, and I think that's what she, like, thought of herself. But then, like, throughout the book, she realizes that she's stronger than she thought she was, and that she can endure more.
Yeah, right.
And she had to learn patience when she was going on the mission because it stated multiple times that she was not good at being patient, and throughout the story, she had to be patient or they would be in trouble.
And yeah, as you guys said, I just think that those flashbacks were a really good contrast to how she had changed from that time to this time. And I think it was, like, as the flashbacks went on in time, you could see how her character was starting to change, but then going back to where she was at that exact moment in time, you could still see that she wasn't worrying about such deep things that she was now.
And then our next question is, could we ever have a civil war in the USA? Why or why not? Would other countries help us if we did? Why or why not?
I think we could, because everyone has a different opinion these days, and that's not bad, but people get super offended over if someone doesn't agree with their opinion. And I mean, that could, some opinions, some views are so important to our lifestyle that they could probably start a war, like the views on abortion or the views on adoption and stuff like that. That could start a war over it, because that affects actual people. And I think other countries would help the USA, because the USA has helped in other multiple wars, and I think they are a pretty good ally in some areas, some not so much, but I think it is very possible, and it is also very possible that they would have help.
And then I think that, like, in present time recently, there have been, like, a lot more controversial topics, mm-hmm. and I think that people, like, they find, like, ways to disagree with each other, and that's not a bad thing. Like, it's good to have different views, but I think that some things, like, people are just finding, like, as many ways to disagree as they can.
You should disagree because you believe in it.
Yes.
And I think it's really important that we do disagree in a time like this where we are so divided, but at times, we just need to come together and see where we could have similarities rather than just always being divided like that.
And then going along with what you said, sorry, I kind of cut you off. I think that people now, they're, like, just seeing what's different between them. Like, they're seeing, oh, my skin color is different. But, like, I think you need to think that, like, we're all the same on the inside, and, like, we are similar. We have more similarities than you think.
And then another specific example that, like, I feel like something that we might, I don't know, like, have a war over or something. Like, you know, the U.S. tariff with China? Like, mm-hmm. like we've been, like, going back and forth for, like, 2 years maybe now.
Yeah.
With the tariffs, and, like, we're just, like, no one's willing to, like, take these tariffs off.
Yeah, like, no one's willing to, like, compromise, really. And I think that's a big problem that America has. No one's willing to compromise. No one's willing to say, I see your side of the argument, and I understand. We all just want to be completely right entirely.
Yeah, and in the end, it's just going to, like, hurt us all, because with these increasing taxes or tariffs, we're just not going to be able to afford stuff.
And then, do you think that countries would help us? Like, personally, I think that since we are, like, a member of the Security Council, we would be helped, because I think we're a huge part of, like, keeping the world and keeping the peace.
I think that it would really just depend on the the situation. It just depends on who we get involved with and who we end up getting in a dispute with, because, you know, they have allies, we have allies. It would really just depend on the situation.
I think that also, since America is basically a cash cow, I'll say it like that, America makes a lot of money, and people aren't greedy. They just understand that money is important. So I think people would want to help due to America being such a financial paradise, really. And I also think, yeah, they have good allies, so and they've helped in other wars, like I said before. So I feel like they would have a good amount of people to help.
Okay, thank you for listening to us. This has been Nikki, B, Lillian, Aileen, and Aileen talking about Escape from Aleppo.